You're listening to episode 99, brought to you by Church Home and Zola. You can find the Church Home Global app on the App Store or Google Play, or text CULTIVATE to 555-888. And to start your free wedding website and also get $50 off your registry on Zola, go to zola.com/lovely. Welcome to Cultivating the Lovely. I'm your host, Mackenzie Coppa. You can find out more about the podcast at cultivatingthelovely.com, in our Yellow Brick Road membership community at patreon.com/cultivatingthelovely, and in our Facebook group. I would also love to connect with you on Instagram, where you can find me at Mackenzie Coppa. That's MackenzieKoppa. Ladies, today I bring you an interview with the incredibly lovely and really life full of miracles, Jane Johnson, from the book Mercy Like Morning. Ladies, I read Jane's book at the end of last year, and it was so moving and incredible and touched me in very personal ways that I wasn't expecting. It's also a wonderful guide to Bible study, which we talk about all throughout this episode. But I just have to say that if you are trying to hold on to hope for anything, if it feels like maybe God isn't showing up or things are taking longer than you want them to, this is an episode that you're really going to want to hear, because Jane's story is so inspiring and faith and hope filled that I think you will be really filled as well. But before we get started with this interview, let's talk about what's going on in Patreon. Ladies, it's been so fun to see how people are just getting so involved with the Patreon community in 2019. We have a brand new format that we're using for our monthly challenges. It's actually more of a quarterly vibe that we've got going on. And it all breaks down into a quarterly workbook, where you have monthly, weekly, and even daily spaces to be writing down how you see God working in your life. How are the little ways that you are going to purposely cultivate loveliness in your day? All those kinds of things that then you can share with the rest of the group and really find out what other people are learning and thinking about what's going on with all the stuff we have working in cultivating the lovely. We have our What Ingrid and Fiona Like podcast. Just this last week, we broke down all of the books that we read in 2018 that were our favorites, which I'm going to tell you a little something. Fiona didn't really have very many books that she read in 2018, but we broke down our goals for 2019, the books we're most looking forward to reading. It was so much fun and a really highly requested episode, and you can get access to all of those past episodes and everything that we do in the future with What Ingrid and Fiona Like by just becoming a patron. We've got all kinds of different levels to fit whatever your budget might be, but it's a great way to kick off this year. It's not too late to make a really good go for 2019. In fact, you may be getting to the point where you've given up some of your goals for the year, and this would be the perfect time to pick back up, give yourself a fresh start, and join us to really get a handle on how you want to cultivate your life this year. Also, I haven't mentioned in a while, we've got a whole nother podcast that we do that's right here on iTunes or Google Play or wherever you listen to your podcasts, and that's The Same Page. It's a podcast that's meant for families to listen to together, or honestly, a lot of moms just put it on for their kids. We read a classic children's novel over a course of a couple of months. So far, we've done The Wizard of Oz and Peter Pan. We're almost finished with Peter Pan. And every Monday, we release core episodes that are memory work driven. So we've got Shakespeare, poetry, scripture, and presidential facts. They are so much fun. My kids are on it with me. A lot of people say that their kids love hearing other kids reading the works. And I think that's super fun to be able to have that connection between them and the other kids. And then if you're in Patreon, you also get printouts of all the memory work material, a schedule of what's coming, book guides, and all of that sort of thing. And I'm very excited to announce that our next book that we will be starting with on January 28th is Little Women. So now is a great time to be starting listening to that as well. Of course, you can always go back and listen to the previous books. They are available for free wherever you get your podcasts. But for now, why don't we jump into this interview with Jane Johnson? Welcome, Jane.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, I'm so looking forward to having you on the show. I actually, your publisher reached out to me a couple months ago, and we had an ad for your book on the show. And then I was like, well, hey, I think I'm having her on my show too. So it was kind of fun to get to do like this double promotion and then really get to sink my teeth into your book. And yeah. It's just so beautiful. I can't wait to talk about it more because it's a really different format than a lot of books that are out there on the market, and has some really fun and interesting things about the way that it was done, and I can't wait to talk about more of the backstory of that. But for anyone who doesn't know who you are, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Jane Johnson, and I am a little bit of a Jill of all trades. I'm a photographer, graphic designer, a writer. I'm pretty much a creative entrepreneur. So I built my own business, and I started up my own business about, 11 years ago.
Wow.
And it's just taken on its own life form. I started off as a photographer and kind of stumbled into graphic design and did that full time for a long time. And now I'm kind of setting that aside to be a mom and focusing solely on writing. So,
wow.
Yeah, I have a passion for digging deep into scripture and everything else. So that's kind of the general rundown of kind of what I do and how I got to be here. But yeah, it's been a wild ride for sure.
Well, and it's so fun to see how that process evolves over the years. You know, like you said, mm-hmm. it started out with one thing and just kind of it morphs from thing to thing to thing. I know.
Oh, you
know,
for sure.
I started out in blogging and then, you know, over years ended up podcasting and then got back into voiceover work. You know, it just kind of like takes on a life of its own, and it can be really interesting to look back on.
Yeah, definitely. You end up in places that you never thought that you'd expect to be in.
Well, that's for darn sure. For sure. Which kind of brings me to the beginning of your book. I mean, for anyone who isn't familiar with your story, I mean, you say delayed fertility. So I'm not going to say battled with infertility, but there was no babies coming there for a long while. And you guys were really, you know, trusting in the Lord. But also you went through some really, I don't even know the word for it, hard things, but also amazing God-filled things from what it seems like in the book with your best friend and everything that she went through. And I was telling you as we were getting recording here, I was like, I read the first couple chapters and I had to kind of like set aside for a minute, like, whoa, okay, wait, this is hitting a little too close to home. Do you want to share a little bit, just like a cursory glance of what that was?
Yeah. So basically the quick rundown is, we tried for a family for about a decade. And I don't like the phrase infertility because it sounded so final to me. It just sounded like there was no other option and that's it. And you're just infertile. And so I started calling it delayed fertility because I had a promise from God that we were going to have a family of our own. And I was going to actually birth a child. And, you know, like I just knew what he said no to and what he said yes to and all the different fertility avenues that you can go down, all the different roads. God kind of shut those roads for us. And so I just clung to the delayed fertility promise and just chose to, that was my little act of faith of, I believe that you're going to do this and it might take a little while, but and then about 5 years into our wait for a family, my best friend was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. And
she had also gone through a divorce.
Correct. She did. Yep. Yeah. So she was actually married to our college pastor. So when I met her, I was a young 20-something and married and not even dating my husband at the time. And she was, just like, I think she was only 4 years older than me, but it felt like an entirely different lifetime older because she had a baby and she was married and she was in a completely different life stage. And she kind of took me under her wing and started discipling me and mentoring me. And so our relationship definitely started as kind of like a mentoring, discipling type of relationship. And then over the years, it kind of morphed into just that really close best friend relationship. Mm-hmm. And so probably a year or two after we got married, she had gotten a divorce from her husband and was a single mom and, you know, living that life for about 5 years. And so she finally got remarried and they got married in October, and in May, I think however many months later, 7 months later, she was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. Wow. And then it was 18 months and she was gone, and it was super quick and really, really hard, you know, where I had this one, by the time she died, it was a 6.5 year long, you know, unanswered prayer for a family and begging for a miracle for our family. And then she lost her battle with cancer. So I had this other unanswered prayer, and it was just this really hard dynamic of, where is your spirit? Where's your glory in all of this? You know? And so it was really hard to kind of recognize that. So the first couple chapters are pretty heavy.
Yeah.
Just laying down the groundwork, but at the same time, I learned how to dig in so deep into scripture as a mode of kind of survival, and also like digging into the different stories of scripture and the different women that were barren for, you know, 10, 15, 20 years and then got their miracle babes, and learning how to dig deeper so that I just didn't read the same five verses over and over again, you know, to get to the meat of it. And so then I kind of talk about how I learned that and teach other women how to dig that way. And so I feel like it was a really, really hard 10-year stretch, but I also got to experience a side of God's character that I think that you don't always get to experience when you have this like super easy, you know, like cruise control, life is good kind of life. You know, you miss out on the depths of God, I think, when you go through the depths of sorrow and heartache and waiting and all of those things.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just reading or listening to a sermon the other day, and it was talking about like broken vessels and how a lot of times we have to be broken down in order for God to have this even more glorious thing on the other side. But when we're in it, it doesn't feel like that's coming, you know,
for sure.
It just feels so far away.
It's excruciating too. You're like, why do I have to experience this kind of heartache? You know, like I've done everything right and I love you and I'm obeying you and trying to honor you. And why is this not happening? You know, and it's just that age old adage of why do bad things happen to good people? And sometimes it's just a matter of stretching your faith and giving you testimony. And, you know, like there's so many different aspects of God's character that even I haven't even experienced yet. And he just wants to be able to show you like, yeah, it's hard, but it's all survivable, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I love how you talk about that in your book. And it's such an interesting book to me because, I mean, I want to talk about like the physical layout of it in a second, but it's really interesting to me just how you were able to weave your story in with like practical, this is how you can study your Bible knowledge. Mm-hmm. And you put a Bible study in it and like you really walk people through the process. And I don't know if I've seen another book that has those two things married so well together. It was very interesting.
Yeah, it was really interesting for me to find that balance because I know that like looking up Greek and Hebrew and parsing and all of those things, those very technical things can be very cut and dry and kind of boring, you know, and how to marry those things to make it interesting and to give it life, but also to like validate that those things, that's necessary information to know, but how do you connect them all? And also the book really combines everything that, you know, the photography and the design, like I really wanted it to be impeccably, beautifully designed. So it's something that you just want to like hold on to and write in and use and revisit and things. And so it's kind of the perfect blend of all aspects of my personality in one 255-page book.
Yeah. When I got your book, it was so different than most books that I get in the mail. I get a lot of books in the mail. And it was, you know, it's a different size than the typical books that are out there. The paper even kind of feels different. It's, I mean, the format, obviously, but your beautiful photography was mixed in. And I feel like it's rare that authors have that much control and kind of how the end product looks.
Yeah.
From how
I had a lot of freedom, I think, with Harvest House. They were very, very kind to let me be very hands-on because I told them from the beginning, I think that's going to be the hardest part because I am a designer and letting somebody else design it for me when I have a very clear vision, especially with all of, like the really cut and dry type of things like parts of the book that I really need to like make pretty and interesting and that kind of deal. And so they were so kind to work with me and be patient with my, you know, type A kind of, no, it has to be this font at this size and everything else. But I really am thrilled with how it turned out. They were so kind to work with me.
That's such a blessing because, I mean, it's not every author I talk to, but I've talked to a few that are like, the cover photo really wasn't what I wanted, or they chose a title that I didn't really like, but I didn't have a choice. And You know, so when I hear from, I've heard from a few authors lately that have said they've been able to be more hands-on with the end product. I know Michaelyn Smith was saying she actually got to choose to not have a dust jacket on her book, and that it was actually printed, you know, hardcover exactly how she wanted. So it's kind of encouraging to hear that, you know, the publishing industry is listening a little bit more to the authors and their vision, because I think it makes it an even more personal product, not even just a book, but, you know, something like you said that people do want to hang on to and be more invested in, because it feels a little bit different, a little bit more personal.
Right. And I had to push a little bit for the cover design. We'd gone through a couple of different rounds of design options with different like font, script fonts and that type of deal. And I really felt so strongly that I wanted it to be my own handwriting on the cover. So the Mercy Like Morning title is my scrawled out handwriting, because so much of the book is taken from my prayer journals. And so it was really important to me that it's like my own handwriting. And so I just am so thrilled with how it turned out. So
Well, it's beautiful. I mean,
Thank you.
All the different aspects of it. That was the first thing that struck me, is like, ooh, wow, this is not the same kind of thing that crosses my path every day. So that's really fun to see.
Yeah, I love that.
Ladies, a lot of people are wanting to invest more into their church-going experience as they start off the new year. And today I want to tell you about an app that actually helps bridge that gap from real world to technology. It helps you to find meaningful, positive connections and tune out all the negative noise. And it's the Church Home Global app. The cool thing about Church Home is that it's not about excluding people. It's not about being perfect. It's about being together where everyone is welcome. They have these great features that allow you to get into a chat room before the church service even starts. They call it the lobby, so you can actually chat with other people who are doing it. And it's not such an isolating experience. You can actually start entering into community through this app with people who are all over the world. Church Home was started 25 years ago with the belief that church isn't so much about the place, but about the people. And that's the thinking behind their new Church Home Global app, where you can connect with people all around the world, have honest discussions, and create meaningful relationships all from your phone. With Church Home Global, you always have access to a positive space and strong community of people. It has so many great features, like the Daily Spark, which is just a quick way to start your morning positively with inspiration from Judah and Chelsea Smith, which is a so much more productive and God-centered way to get started with your morning instead of getting sucked into the black hole of Instagram or some other social media. I really love the women's group that they have, where you can actually talk with other people in the room, but also you can ask questions right to the main speaker and they will get back to you. That's the kind of access that most churches don't even have. So join me today on the Church Home Global app. Download the free Church Home Global app available on the App Store or Google Play, or text CULTIVATE to 555-888. That's Church Home, CHURCHOME, Global, available on the App Store or Google Play, or text CULTIVATE to 555-888. But even backing up a little bit more, so you had, you know, this 10-year experience and, you know, went through all of that, and your, you know, career developed and changed over that time. But how did the book even come to be? How did that become?
Well, that's the funny part, is that it was kind of accidental. I mean, it wasn't accidental. I mean, everything is it was sovereignly accidental. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I had always had the feeling that our story was going to turn into some sort of book.
Yeah.
And that was the only way that I could reconcile the amount of time that was going by and all the heartache. Like, surely this is going to turn into something. Like, it can't just be open-ended, you know? And so I was just journaling through everything, and not intentionally to turn it into a book, but just so that I could sit down in the morning and hash out my feelings to get them out and get along with my day. Because if I didn't, I'm a verbal processor, processor, and also like a prayer journal writing processor. And if I don't get it out somehow, then I'm just going to stew on it. And it's like a hamster wheel. So anyways, I just knew, like, I told a girlfriend of mine at some point, we were having lunch, and I was like, I have the bulk of a book written. I just don't know how it's going to end. I don't know what the ending is going to be.
Yeah.
And I was just driving one day and checked my phone at a stoplight, which, you know, you shouldn't do, but everybody does, and checked my email, and I had an email waiting for me from the publisher. And my husband went to high school with one of the girls that works for this publishing company, and she told their acquisitions editor about our story, and she read my blog, and she reached out, and she's like, "Oh my gosh, we need to like turn this into a book." So it was like I wasn't even looking for it, I wasn't even pursuing it. It was just one of those things that God was like, "Okay, now's the time." And I'm like, "Wait a minute. I had 10 years to write an entire book with all the time in the world." And then all of a sudden, when the book deal came about when I was 5 or 6 months pregnant.
Oh, wow.
So then I ended up writing the book with a newborn.
Oh,
so
my
it was
goodness.
Just like when I don't have any time whatsoever. And it was just like he stripped everything away and made sure that it was just all for his glory and his words and everything else. So it's just so backwards how it all came about, but it was just his perfect timing.
That's
awesome. So yeah, pretty crazy.
And so how long did that, with a newborn, how long did the writing process end up taking?
I think it ended up taking a total of about 10 months, with maybe about 6 months of really writing. And I think a week and a half before the manuscript was due, I had an entire chapter that I completely took out and rewrote. So it was just like one of those things that, I don't know. It was like God gave me the perfect allocation of words for that stretch of nap time every single time. It was just the craziest thing where like I would sit down, crank out, and right as I was getting my last thought out is when the baby would wake up. And so it was just really fascinating to watch it all kind of spill out of me. Like it was just bottled up and being perfected this whole time. And God's like, "Okay, here you go."
Yeah. That's awesome how that just all happens like that. And so how old is your little guy now?
He turns 2 on Saturday in 2 days.
Okay. So it's been a pretty quick process of like getting baby, book, and now another baby.
Yeah. So we had baby and then book. And then I turned in the manuscript last October. And then 5 months later, found out that we were pregnant with miracle babe number 2.
That's amazing.
So, and then my book came out in October. And then we moved. And then this baby's due in 4 days. So it's been since October has been pure chaos.
Oh, I can't imagine. And you didn't just move.
We moved across the ocean.
Moved from Hawaii to Oregon. Like that's no small thing.
Yeah. So we were living in Maui. So we moved to Maui about after a year and a half after Shauna died, because I just needed to heal. And my sweet husband was like, "Anywhere that you want to go, we'll go." And he just indulged me, and we packed up everything that we owned and moved to Maui with one-way flights and 5 suitcases and lived there for 4.5 years. And then eventually brought our stuff over and, you know, kind of settled in. And then when we moved back, we sold everything that we owned on Maui. And so we moved back with about 10 suitcases, 10 or 15, anything that could fit in a suitcase we crammed in and brought over, but we didn't have any furniture. We moved when I was 36 weeks pregnant, right at the travel cutoff time, and moved right back into our house that we were living in before, but it was completely empty. So we had to buy all new furniture, all new like silverware and glasses and, you know, every little thing that you could possibly imagine when I'm like 9 months pregnant, about to pop and nesting. And I'm like, been so intense moving and setting up a house and nesting and preparing for baby. And
That's a whole different level of nesting than most
people. Totally. And just like the timing of it all, like when this book comes out and I should be like really marketing it, it's just like this whole, like I literally just don't have time. It's this whole hands off kind of feel of like, "Okay, God, I did my part. You have to do your part now," because I don't have time to like sit on Instagram all day, every day and do the social media thing and do the promotion, you know, like,
"Hi, I'm having an actual person come out of me." Like, I don't have the ability to do that right now.
Right. And like, I'm surrounded by cardboard still. Like, I'm even like up in a bonus room and there's like a pile of like cardboard over in the corner that needs to be like taken care of furniture that's been put together. So, but it's been really sweet and redemptive because like the timing of all of this is like, we just had the 6 year anniversary of when Shauna died the day after Thanksgiving. And just the fact that like, we're back in the house that was so empty for so long. Like I keep saying it was always a house, but never really a home. It's like a 2,200 square foot house that was just my husband and I and empty bedrooms that I just dreamed of being kids' rooms. And now just the timing of it and moving back in Kind of redeeming all of this heartache, and especially around the time that Shauna died, and like now coming back and about to bring home a baby into the house that I never thought I was going to bring a baby home into, is like God's just redeeming so many, like the smallest details and the biggest details. And it's like this beautiful big red bow on top of this already crazy story. It's almost like the book that I wrote was like, there's a little asterisk at the end of like, we're almost finished, but hang on, there's one more little surprise. And I'm like, oh, okay, we're gonna have two babies. So it's pretty crazy.
Well, and that was actually one of the questions I have you. Do you think there'll be another book?
Well, yes, there's definitely going to be more books in the future. I just don't know. Like I really have a heart for like, I want to write Bible studies and, you know, teach women how to study scripture, but that's not to say that it's, I mean, I don't know if this format is going to be like my format or if that was just a one-time deal. But he keeps giving me these redemptive stories and connecting like these crazy details of things that I would never normally, I don't think I would catch on to unless I was an avid prayer journaler. And like even like the day that after Shauna died, we were in Corvallis where she lived for 33 days total between hospice. She was in hospice for 23 days, and then she died at the memorial service. So we were displaced about 2.5 hours east of where we live for 33 days. And the day that we drove home and kind of entered into the new normal of living life again without her was December 3rd, 6 years ago. And I just realized a couple of days ago, flipping back in my prayer journals and like looking at everything, that that's the same exact day as my due date for this baby. Of, you know, like I have this ability to like right within that same couple of day range to like walk into the same house that I walked into so heavy. And so, like, I just remember like every single step walking up the stairs to my bed where I climbed into bed and I didn't get out for like 48 hours or something, and was just crying and grieving and so heartbroken. And to be able to like bring this second miracle home from the hospital into this house and walk up those stairs, it's like that true, like Psalm 126 has been my mantra for the last couple of months, of like how you go out weeping and you return home, you know, with joy, and how he's just redeeming all of it. It's so sweet and special and amazing, like how he just comes full circle. So
It's beautiful, especially for someone who's like still very in the middle of like the hard stuff. It can be difficult to see the hope and the redemption on the other side. Like you can just feel, I'm sure you can relate to this, but you just feel like it's not ever going to get better. There's not going to be that beauty on the other side. Like, is there
Totally.
a promise of that, you know?
Right. And
And
I remember being at a conference one time, and they were doing the worship leading up to it. And I can't remember if I was getting ready to speak or if I was speaking the next day, but I was ugly crying in the back because they were singing "It Is Well With My Soul," and I couldn't say it because I was in the midst of, I had lost her, Shauna, and I still didn't have a family. And I was like, God, this is, it's not well with me. I can't say this. This is not a season of my life where this is well with me. But I had to get on my face on the bathroom floor that night and just acknowledge, okay, it might not be well with me now, but it will be eventually. And that's where faith comes in, of like, that's what I call the white knuckle faith, of like I'm just clinging to his robe and that Hebrews anchor of soul. I'm just clinging to that anchor chain and just trusting that eventually it will be well with me, you know? And now I can say it is well with my soul. And we're 6 years out from her death, and her death anniversary this year was the first time that I don't feel like I was really grieving, you know? Like I've just kind of settled into, okay, that's our story and she's gone and I miss her like crazy, but the time of really like weeping about that is over and it's okay, you know? Like she wouldn't want me to do that. But anyway, it's really interesting finding that balance of like hanging on to the faith that like it's going to be well with me eventually. And it kind of sucks right now, and it's fine to acknowledge that. You know, we don't always have to have the God is so good all the time fake facade on, because he knows our heart, you know? So
Yeah, and sometimes it's just that choosing to believe that, I don't know, I've had a whole thing here with like some friends lately and things that they've been going through and things we've gone through in the past, and like times in my friendships with a couple of friends where it was made out to me that, like, okay, I'm not doing a good job of explaining this, but basically there was this event that happened and I needed to be separated away from my friends for a time because of like some sicknesses and stuff that were going on with our kids and everything. But my husband at the time told me, oh, this was your friend's way of getting you out of the picture. And this, they really don't like you. They don't want you, you know, whatever. You need to get out of the way. And mm-hmm. I mean, that's a horrible thing to be told. But right. my friends all came to me, this group of friends, and they were like, no, that's not the case. We do love you. You know, this is just like this crazy thing that is going on right now, but we love you. We want you back. We don't not want you here. And mm-hmm. I had to make that choice at that point to either listen to the lies of, no, they don't want you. Mm-hmm. you don't fit. Or I could listen to what my friends were telling me in love. No, we do love you. We want you. We just, you know, it's just this crazy time, but we have good things planned after everybody's well again. Yeah. And I feel like it's kind of that same thing with God right now. It's like, mm-hmm. I can listen to all the lies yep. of, no, he doesn't really want you. He doesn't have good things planned for you. You are just in this, and this is the way it's going to be. Or I can, whether it feels like it or not, you know, turn to his truth and say, okay, no, he does love me. He, you know, says that I have worth, even mm-hmm. though I don't feel like I do, and that he has good things planned, even though it doesn't feel like it right now.
Right. Yep. Well, and there's a reason why there's desert seasons in the Bible. And then mm-hmm. there's, you know, like the Canaan promise and the rivers in the desert and all those things. Like, everything has its place. And that's the hard part, is that you have to like find that ability to walk through the desert without believing that the desert is where your value is or where you belong. You're just kind yeah. of walking through. And that's what I tell people all the time too, is like, especially with the grieving process, is that it's so easy to just like give into the temptation to just sit down and wallow in self-pity and wallow in the sorrow and the frustration and the hardship and choose to believe the lies and just say, you know what, I'm not worth it. I'm just going to sit here and believe that for a while. But like Psalm 23 says, you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You're not going to like pitch your tent yeah. and sleep there for a while. You're walking through it. Like, it was designed to be traveled through. And so you just have to like go one foot in front of the other, step for step, until you step out of it and, you know, step into the light. And I think I've had a couple people kind of warn me of like, we're in the afterglow of our miracle right now. And they're like, well, you know, it's not always going to be like sunshine and roses. And I'm like, oh, I know,
yeah.
but can I just enjoy my moment yeah. for a little bit longer without right. anticipating the next shoe that's going to drop, you know?
Oh,
but
absolutely.
Yeah.
Let me hang on to a little bit of the positive yeah. for a while here.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. So. I think that's so true. I want to talk a little bit more, because I know I've had people reach out to me before, and this is kind of the first season we've hit on some of the harder topics. Like, we've had, you know, parents of kids with disabilities, or, you know, those kinds of things coming on the show a little bit more. And I've had people ask specifically about infertility.
Yeah.
And or delayed fertility. And mm-hmm. so I would love to just hear a little bit more about that process for you guys and the choice that you made to not pursue fertility treatments. And mm-hmm. that, I mean, because I'm sure, especially as the years wore on, that was probably like a hard choice to be like, yeah. I'm not just going to take this into my hands. And not to be down on anyone who does, you know,
sure.
decide
yep.
that that's, you know, the path that they are meant to take or whatever. But you felt so strongly that that wasn't what God had for you guys. And mm-hmm. the trust in, I mean, that takes a lot of faith to yeah. not just try to do something on your own.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, ladies, if you or someone you know is about to get married, then Zola is the website that you need to hear about. Zola takes the stress out of wedding planning with free wedding websites that are super easy to set up, your dream wedding registry, affordable save the dates and invitations, and easy to use planning tools, all conveniently located in one place online. You start out with your wedding website that just takes a few minutes to create. You can choose from over 100 beautiful designs to really fit what your couple style is. You can personalize it with photos and stories and even an FAQ section where you can really address some of those awkward questions like, can I bring my kids, or do I have a plus one? And then you can put your Zola registry right on your wedding website. So guests get to fill in all the details they need and buy your wedding gift in one convenient and beautiful place. Zola makes registering for newlywed life so easy. They have the widest selection of gifts at all different price points. Guests love the free shipping and returns, price matching, and more. There are over 500 brands, and people can even donate to your honeymoon fund or buy gift cards that you've registered for. They also have the best completion discount out there of 20% off any remaining gifts on your registry right after your big day. So if you want to start your free wedding website and also get $50 off your registry on Zola, go to zola.com/lovely. Again, go to zola.com, that's zola.com/lovely, to start your free wedding website and get $50 off your registry.
So we kind of waited for about 4 years just to see if anything would happen naturally and not getting pregnant. And finally, after 4 years, I think that's a lot longer than most people mm-hmm. wait to do all the testing, but we jumped through all the testing hoops and everything else. And then the results came down to, you can either do in vitro, you can do artificial insemination, or you can adopt. Those are your three options. And we didn't feel like we wanted to do any of those. And so we chose option number four, which was to just wait for God's miracle. And I think that I have to preface this by saying that, like, my husband is very black and white with his faith in this particular scenario. Mm. If he was as emotional as I was, I don't think we would have been able to wait the way that we did. Yeah. But he was really unwavering in his faith, and that helped me. Sure. I mean, it definitely triggered fights for sure, but also yeah. like I would fight and lash out and get my frustration out. And then the next day I would, you know, resign myself again to the fact that we are going to wait, you know, because I was just, there's a couple different aspects of this, of I just had this understanding where, okay, God told us that he's going to give us this promise and that I'm going to birth a child. And so if we go these other avenues, like adoptions fail, artificial insemination, in vitro, like all those things could fail, mm-hmm. you know? So if God really wants us to go this route, all these other avenues that we could go down, spending all this money and all this emotional investment and things, could all fail. And we would be forced to go down, you know, just waiting anyways, or it could work. But I just felt so strongly that if we went down that road, it wouldn't work for us. And I think the verse is it's in the New Testament. I want to say James. I don't think that's right. I don't have it right in front of me, but the verse that talks about how, if you do something that you know that God has told you not to do, but you mm-hmm. do it anyways, it's sin to you. It might not be outright sin. So in yeah. vitro and adoption and all these things are really beautiful processes. And God definitely, like, every child is a miracle. And I don't want to negate that from anybody, mm-hmm. but for us, going down that road would have been disobedience. And so for us, that would have been sin for us. So we yeah. chose to not go down that road. And so I have to be really careful when I say sure. that, because I don't want to offend people that have gone down that road, because that's fine. Like, that's amazing. Yeah. I have plenty of friends that have done in vitro successfully and have adopted and have really beautiful families. But for us, it was a different story. And the only way that I was able to hang on to that for so long was, I mean, there was a series of dreams that people had that, they told me about that God would confirm, and I've kind of laid them all out in the book a little bit, but very specific ways of how he confirmed his promise and would show up in just really dramatic ways. Like, I have a whole red bikini story in the book that, like, really solidifies my, yeah. you know, like, wait for this promise, because there's, like, a red bikini promise. It's a really crazy story. I don't know if you want me to say it here or just, like, save it for the book, but.
I know it's hard. I always feel like the author, it's like, I don't want to, if you want to wait and make people read the book, like, you know, I totally am for that. But if you want to share something, you can too.
No, it's actually a really, really crazy story. Because it's something that's like this innocuous detail that doesn't mean anything. But before we moved to Maui, I was cleaning out my bathing suit drawer, and my very favorite bathing suit for like 5 years was this red bikini, and it was completely threadbare and falling apart. And I was like trying stuff on and trying to decide what to get rid of and everything else. And my husband had walked in, and I had this red bikini on, and he's like, no, it's time to get rid of it. Because like the bottoms of it were like, the fabric was completely sagging. It was all separated. And he's like, it is dead. Like, you need to part with it.
Yeah.
So I threw away my favorite bathing suit and started shopping for a brand new like red bikini to replace it, and I couldn't find one. Like I had a really particular, it was like a bandeau style. It's like really silly, but it was like a really particular style that I loved. And I have a twin sister, and I had her shopping for it in Phoenix, and I was looking online and in magazines, and I couldn't find this red bikini. And so anyways, we ended up moving, and I kind of put it on the back burner and forgot about it. And then probably 6 or 7 weeks after we moved, mind you, we moved to Maui specifically for healing. So, this is all part of this crazy story, but 6 or 7 weeks later, I get a text message from a friend that I had met at a conference, I don't know, probably 8 months earlier. And she said, "Don't ask me why I'm asking you this, but do you own a bathing suit that's specifically like a red two-piece?" And I was like, "Wow, that's a really random question." And I used to have on my Facebook like cover photo for a long time was a photo of me and my husband in Cancun sitting at the end of a dock where I'm wearing this red bikini. So I was like, maybe she saw that and she's thinking about that. So
yeah.
I was like, well, I used to, and I've been trying to find one, but I haven't found one yet. And then I asked her what she told me not to ask her. And I was like, why are you asking me this? And she replied, and she's like, "Well, when we met at the conference, we were at dinner and you were talking about moving to Maui, but you weren't sure." Like we were at the time, we had probably 4 or 5 different cities that we were talking about moving to, like San Diego and Atlanta and Portland and Maui, and this random mix of stories. So we were still kind of unsure where we were going to end up. But she said, after we were talking at dinner, she said, "That night I had a dream that you were standing on the beach in Maui with a red bikini on and a very pregnant belly. And I just knew that you were always going to end up there." And so it was just like those kinds of little details. Like every time I tell that story, it gives me chills, because it was like just when my faith would be wavering, we were like 8.5 years into waiting at that point. And God would just give me a little sliver of hope of like, you're going to get pregnant, you're going to have a baby, just like with these little details. Like nobody would know about the red bikini detail. You know, that's something that's so specific to me and so silly that like, I don't know, God cares about every single detail, even if it's a red bikini. So there was that. And there was just a whole series of a bunch of different things that, I couldn't deny, you know, they all kind of like fed, they were kind of like the rocks providing like the path for me to walk on faith, you know? So, not to say that we didn't have our moments where I would be crying and be like, "Josh, can we just go buy a baby? Like, let's just go adopt. There's plenty of kids out there," you know, but it was just this thing of like, God had a different story for us. And it was really terrifying. Like I would get up on stage in front of 250 or 300 women and tell our story and say, "You know what? It's been 8 years, but I believe that God's going to do our miracle." And like, I started about a year and a half or 2 years before I got pregnant, started really being brave on social media and saying it out loud and, you know, being like, "Okay, you guys might think I'm crazy, but like, God's going to do this." And then sure enough, the same exact month as our 10-year anniversary when we started trying was when we got pregnant. And it's just so crazy. And then my son's due date was 2 days before Shauna's death anniversary. Yeah. So there's so like between him and this baby, there's so much redemption happening with like there are so many details and so much heartache in those 10 years that God has to like spread out the redemption across two kids, you know? It's a lot for one kid to like represent.
Yeah. Oh, that's
pretty
funny.
Crazy. So, yeah.
Well, and it's just crazy for me because I read the book, and but you know, I read a lot of books because I talk to a lot of authors. But I forgot. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that I read it, but you bringing up the piece about the dreams. And, you know, that's something I feel like in our culture that people are like wary of. Like, what? Yeah. A dream? Like, is that really, you know, whatever? But it can't be denied that God uses dreams in the Bible.
Yeah.
And through this past year, I have had some dreams myself, and I've had other people reach out to me and say, "I had a dream about you and this happened." And they're all kind of around the same sorts of things that are very much applying to my scenario. And, you know, there it's hard because when I hear like what other people will say, like these couple of people who've reached out to me and said, "I had a dream and these were all the specifics of it," you know, there's that part of you that's like, "No, I don't want to believe that," you know, but at the same time, it's like, but I can't deny that feels right. And that feels like a sliver of hope that God is giving me for the future. Like he's giving me like this just little snippet of, "Look, I've got something good on the other side of this. You just have to wait." And,
totally.
you know, I don't have the ending story of whether those things are coming true. And so it's like, you don't know how much stock to put into it,
Right,
but
for sure.
it definitely does, like, just hearing, even hearing, having you bring it up again, like about the dream thing is like, oh, is that God showing me again? Like, just hang on to that. Like,
Right.
it's going to be okay. Like, you have to, I think, especially when there's so much hard, even those little tiny things you have to cling to and be like, okay, that I'm going to hang on to that hope for right now.
Well, and it's also okay to ask God to confirm or deny something.
Yeah,
You know, like I had
yeah.
to revisit that multiple times, and our 10 years of waiting of like, I'd have to constantly check in, especially towards the end of like, at one point I felt like I was like standing on the wrong side of a canyon, you know, like,
Yeah.
you know, believing that I was like standing on the right side, but all of a sudden having this fear of like, what if I believe it, been believing the wrong thing all these years, you know, like, and having that panic anxiety of like, God, you've got to confirm or deny this right now. And
Yeah.
when I had that confirm or deny moment, I had a quiet time and I was just desperate. I was like, God, confirm or deny that we are still supposed to wait. And then 2 hours later, with this silly red bikini, 2 hours later, I got an email from a social media director that was working for me to populate some Pinterest boards and things. She sent me an email and the subject line, all that it said was, what do you think about this red bikini? And I was like, okay, like that's
Yeah.
my sign to hang on. But also I had, speaking of dreams and confirmations and things, I can't remember if I put this story in the book or not, but shortly after Shauna was diagnosed, a girlfriend of mine had a dream. So we were 5 years into our wait, and she had a dream, and she'd reached out and she's like, listen, I had a dream about you, but I just want to wait and pray for a couple of days to make sure that it's from the Lord. And I don't want to just send it to you off the cuff, but I really want to share it with you. And so let's have coffee. And I was like intrigued, but also kind of cynical because it had been 5 years and
Sure.
everything else, exactly like what you're talking about, you know?
Yeah.
So we meet for coffee and she shares this dream with me. And I was just kind of taking it with a grain of salt and probably had a really cynical look on my face, you
Yeah.
know, like, cause I was at that point at the 5 year
Yeah.
mark is when I was just like setting aside faith and hope. And I was tired of believing and I was getting a little cranky and cynical and everything else. And so we were sitting in a coffee shop and she's like, I just had this dream that I was standing backstage at a conference and you were on stage teaching and I was holding a baby and somebody walked by and said, hey, whose baby is that? And she said, this is Josh and Jane's baby. And she's like, I don't know if you birthed this child or how it came about, but I know it was your child. And so I was like, oh, that's really interesting, you know? And so we were talking for a while and then I was driving home and just thinking about it. And I kept thinking about the verse in Luke when the angel appears to Mary and she just pondered everything in her heart. And so as soon as I got home, I grabbed my Bible to go look for that verse in Luke and had the page open and I had boxed out something at some point in time in pink, and I never really used pink pen in my Bible, but something caught my eye that was outlined on the page in a pink box. And I went to look at the verse that was boxed out and it said, blessed is she who believed that there will be a fulfillment of the word that was spoken to her from the Lord. And I was like, okay, that's confirmation, right? You know? So like, I think that, you know, people have dreams and God speaks through dreams, but God is so faithful to, you know, provide confirmation of, yeah, that was me.
Yeah.
Oh, that wasn't really so much or whatever, you know? And he doesn't always do that, but I'm like, for the big things that are like black and white, big, heavy issues like this, I think that he's super faithful to give you the green light of like, yeah, keep believing that, hang on to that, because that's a little piece of the future that I have for you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it's like, you know, we've kind of said, it's not till you kind of get on the other side that you know that, okay, those were things all, you know, leading up to it. But he does give you those little moments of like that settledness in your heart of, okay, you know, that is from him. There's just, you got to keep believing. And it's hard.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, well,
totally.
It's so sweet, and it's such a sweet story. It's, you know, it's hard. You don't hold anything back in your book. It's gritty some of the time, where you know, I told you before we started that I read the first couple of chapters and it hit real close to home, and I like had to set the book aside and be like, maybe I need to go to the doctor and like see if I need to be checked out. Like, this is a woo. That was heavy stuff. But, and even my friends, I was like, I'm having this gal on the podcast and I'm reading this book and this is the first couple chapters. And they're like, girl, you've got, just stop. Just don't even read. Just like, I gotta read it. And they're like, you can't, that's too hard. But there's so much redemption in the story, mm-hmm. and it's such a good encouragement to press into God in those really hard moments. And even when it feels like you're kind of going, you know, where are you, mm-hmm. to still know that even when the feelings aren't necessarily there, that his word is true and right and will be our rock if we just press into that. And
right,
so,
for sure.
And for that, the book was very much worth it. So
good. I'm so glad.
Yeah, it was very good.
I'm glad that you pushed through.
Yes.
Let the cancer fear overtake you.
But now we're going to kind of transition. I know we've had like this big, you know, great kind of heavy discussion, but now things will get a little lighter.
Let's do it.
What does a typical day look like for you right now?
Right now at this moment, oh my gosh, waking up every morning
one?
And so sad that I'm still pregnant.
I know.
I'm just kidding. Well, kind of kidding. Last night I had dreams all night that I was inducing because I'm so ready to like be done being pregnant. But that's an interesting question. Before we left Maui, pre-move, I would just like wake up and, you know, make breakfast and hang out with our little babe and walk down to the beach and get him out. And then I'd sit down and work while he was napping, whether that's editing photos or designing websites or writing for a blog post or a Bible study or something. Like, I would have my afternoon time to work, and then he'd get up and we'd just do the dinner routine. And so that was my typical day-to-day routine, but now everything is all cattywampus out the window. So
it will be for a while, because let's face it, you're having a baby, and that just makes for not typical days any day.
Right, totally. But on a good day, I'm probably 3 or 4 times a week, I'll probably wake up early and squeeze in a good quiet time. So that's a priority for me. But yeah, that's pretty much a general, you know, in a normal sense setting. That's how a typical day looks for us.
Yeah. That sounds, you know, life with littles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although come January, when I'm like, wait, it's going to be cold for 5 more months and there's not a beach 1,000 feet from where we live and I can't go swim in the tropical ocean. Like, what did we do?
Yeah. Wait a minute.
So, yeah. It's going to be really interesting kind of adjusting back to that. But I'll think a lot about my old normal in Maui.
Yeah. Oh, I can imagine. I think that's kind of the dream all of us have, would be to live on Maui. So I imagine it would be a bit of an adjustment, especially with littles, where it's like you're trapped inside forever.
Yes, definitely.
I so get that one. Okay, so how are you currently cultivating the lovely in your life, even in the midst of all of this crazy?
Oh my gosh. Well, I feel like I'm just trying to set up little pockets of our home, and I think trying to make that feel lovely is I know that's a year-long process. I was just talking with somebody on Instagram. She had posted something about how they've been working on their house for a year and it's finally coming together. And I had to remind myself that this whole like feeling of like, okay, it's finished and it's lovely and it's cozy, and that's going to take a year, not 2 weeks. But, I think just finding those little things, like just setting up our bedroom and just feeling like a little sense of calm, and like I can just take a deep breath. And especially because I'm not creating right now, I'm not really doing any design work or doing any photography. Like, I don't have that creative outlet. So that's kind of coming out in our home and trying to set it up without overthinking everything and trying to make it perfect all at once. You know, like I can just take little sections at a time and, you know, make these little vignettes here and there. So
absolutely. That's a good place to direct it right now, because that's you know, where you're at. So I think that's a really good thing. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, this is, you know, a silly thing I've been doing to cultivate loveliness in my life, but, you know, there's so little that I have control over right now. And, you know, living with family and just don't know kind of from month to month what things are going to look like, and still trying to build my business and all of this stuff. And things just seem to keep getting pushed back farther and farther. But one thing that I can control is how I take care of my skin, it's kind of become a new obsession for me. Like, I've always been very diligent about washing my face every night and, you know, those kinds of things. But they had like all the, you know, Christmas sales at Sephora where they'd have, you know, like these really expensive kits for, you know, $10 or $15. Yeah. And so I just picked up a couple of different little things for myself, and it's gone to become like this nightly and even morning now ritual where it's like, I've got these creams and serums and I'm using it all. And I feel like it's just this one thing I can do to feel like, okay, I'm just taking care of myself and I can feel good about it. And even on the days where I'm like working late and it's crazy, just to wrap up my night, like, okay, I took care of my skin. I'm like, I did some small thing.
Totally. Oh my gosh, that makes such a big difference. Yeah. I have a Bible study called Treasures of Darkness. It's a 9-week Bible study with 5 days of homework every day. And one of the chapters, one of the week chapters, is on the beauty of holiness and how, you know, that the correlation between beauty and holiness, and how, like, when you spend more time with the Lord, you tend to have a little bit more of a beauty glow about you that you can't really describe anyways. But I talk a little bit about that in the study, about how I used to work at a makeup counter, and I appreciate those types of like skincare and makeup and hair and like feeling put together, and like I'm about to go get a manicure pedicure so that I'm baby ready. You know, little things like that really make a big difference when everything else is in chaos and there's cardboard and trash all over the house that needs to be taken out. At least I have a manicure, right?
Yes, it's so true. Like, I mean, all through this last year, you know, I get up and I put on makeup every day and I do my hair every day and I try to wear real clothes every day. And people have asked me, like, how, if I were going through that, I would just want to live in my sweatpants and, you know, just like be trying to get through. I'm like, yeah, well, if I did that, that's how I would feel. Yeah, that's how I would feel. And I want to dress and try to present myself for the life that I want to be living, not necessarily the life that surrounds me. And, you know, it's not perfect every day, but I do, it does make such a difference for me that it's worth it.
Yep. And even just getting up and making your bed, just like having that one little piece done and finished, is like, I can tackle anything if my bed's made and my hair and makeup are done.
It's true. And your nails, man, your nails. Yep. Okay, are you ready for my stock questions?
Yes.
Okay.
Fire them out.
Candles or essential oil diffuser?
Oh, candles.
All right. Cloth napkins or paper?
Cloth.
All right. And maybe, do you think that's from not having kids all those years that it felt more doable?
For sure. For sure.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, I have like white bedding still, and people are like, "Why do you have white?" Like we moved, and I bought white bedding again, and I'm like, "Bleach, it's fine. That's what I'm used to."
Yeah, exactly. Okay, city or country?
City.
All right, paper or digital?
Paper.
Okay.
That's a tough question. Yeah,
I paper. Know.
I'm thinking photographs though.
Yeah.
Paper. Yep.
Okay. Shopping. Would you rather do it online or in the store?
Oh my gosh. I've done so much online shopping lately, especially for furniture with this move, and I've made a lot of mistakes.
Oh no.
Because buying couches sight unseen is not the best idea. So let's go with in-store shopping.
Okay. So it's 4 o'clock or whatever time you're starting to make dinner and you need a little bit of a mental break. Do you listen to a podcast or to music?
Music.
All right. And what is some of your favorite music to listen to?
In that scenario, I would probably listen to Amos Lee radio on Pandora, or I have a Madeline Perot radio. So more like jazzy, kind of low key, chill kind of music.
All right. Chocolate, milk or dark?
Milk.
Okay. Sports or no sports?
No sports.
Okay.
My husband would be shaking his head right now.
Live broadcasting. Would you rather broadcast or watch?
Broadcast probably. Although I have a fear, I've never done an Instagram live because I'm terrified of it, but my gut says broadcast, which is weird. That doesn't make any sense.
It's not as intimidating as it feels. Just go for it.
Okay.
You'll love it.
It's like scary for a type A personality where everything has to be perfect, you know?
I know, but there's something about, I don't know. I mean, I just thrive on like the interaction. I love doing live because of that, but you should give it a whirl.
Okay.
All right. What is your favorite movie?
Sweet Home Alabama.
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh yeah. I love it.
Yes. Very sweet. Okay. If you were to put yourself on the crunchiness spectrum, like natural, you know, and zero is totally not crunchy, and 10 is like singing Kumbaya by the fire with your legs unshaven and dreadlocks in your hair. Where are you at?
Maybe like a 3.
Okay.
I mean, I buy organic and that's about it.
Yeah. But you've got those cloth napkins. So yes. Dang, yep. Girl.
But yeah. That's more for like aesthetics than yes. environmental reasons. Yes.
You could claim it as both, though. Just take right. it. Run with it.
Yep.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today. It was so great to just get to hear more about your story and connect with you. And just getting to talk with you, it totally spoke to my heart. So thank you so much. Glad.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. And good luck with everything. I hope the birth goes smoothly. And we can't wait to hear more about it.
Yeah, hopefully. I know it's going to be so quick. So
yeah,
hopefully soon. Sooner yep. rather than later.
I hear you. Oh, I hear you. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
I hope you ladies are walking away from this episode feeling as inspired and hopeful as I did when I did this episode with her. It was just such a life-giving experience for me, and I hope it was for you too. You can get the show notes from this episode by going to boldturquoise.com/099. That's right, next week is our 100th episode. It doesn't even feel possible. But if you want to give us like a little support for just about being at 100 episodes and really kind of wanting to give us the woohoo, what you could do is just hop over to iTunes and leave a rating and review. It does huge things for us. I know it just sounds silly, but it really does make a difference and helps boost us up in the iTunes charts and just continue to help the podcast grow and thrive. And we so, so appreciate it. Also, as an aside, and this one I think is really fun, you guys who've been hanging out to the very end of the podcast, you get to be reminded of it. I'm going live every morning on Instagram. That's right. We brought back the morning show, Mornings with Mackenzie, on Instagram. You can find me at Mackenzie Coppa. I try to come on every morning around 6:45 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, and we have been having so much fun. Just this past week, we did topics on the Enneagram and Audible and book recommendations and all kinds of fun things, little incremental ways that you can be really working on goals throughout the year to have long-term results. It's been so much fun, and we have just been having a blast kicking off our mornings together, kind of like the old days on Periscope. So if you want to come over and join us over there, we would love to have you. It's completely free. Just find me at Mackenzie Coppa on Instagram. And those episodes are only available for 24 hours because currently I don't have quite enough followers to get them over onto IGTV because of the length of the videos. So they do go away quick. So if you want to get to hear any of those episodes, then make sure that you get them before they expire. All right, ladies, I think that's all for this week's episode. Next week, I will be back with Jessica Honegger from Noonday Collection. But until then, hopefully I'll see you on Instagram or Patreon, and go be bold and gracious.